You have your Bibles with you. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, if you have your Bibles with you. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 15. The first 11 verses, please hear this public reading of God's Word. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of all the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So as we come to our time of confession today, a couple of questions that we could start off with. Number one, have we had a firm grasp on the gospel this week? Have we had a firm grasp on the gospel this week? And number two, has the gospel been central in our lives this week? Has the gospel been central in our lives this week? Jerry Bridges, who's been so helpful in my own life, has said this. He says, don't give the gospel short shrift, meaning don't give the gospel brief treatment. Don't dismiss the gospel in your time alone with God. Take time to reflect on the gospel, to enjoy its exhilarating influence on your mind, and then in gratitude to God for his grace and mercy through Christ, present your body to him as a living sacrifice. So have we given the gospel brief treatment this week? Have we dismissed it? Or have we taken time to reflect on the gospel? Have we taken time to enjoy its exhilarating influence on our life? C.J. Mahaney has written that we should never be content with our grasp on the gospel, because the gospel is life-permeating, world-altering, universe-changing truth. It has more facets than any diamond. Its depths man will never exhaust. We're never going to exhaust the depths of the gospel. So here I want to give you a list of questions from C.J. Mahaney, and I want you to answer these questions in your mind as I read through these questions. These are great questions to think on. He writes this, each of our lives is centered on something. What's at the center of yours? Think about it for a moment. What's really the main thing in your life? Only one thing can truly be first in priority. So what's at the top of your list, second to none? Or let me put it this way, what are you most passionate about? What do you love to talk about? When you get together with your friends, what do you love to talk about? What do you think about most when your mind is free, when you have spare moments? What does your mind drift to? Or try this, what is it that defines you? Is it your career, a relationship? Maybe it's your family or your ministry. It could be some cause or movement or some political affiliation. Or perhaps your main thing is a hobby or a talent you have, or even your house and possessions. It could be any number of good things. But when it comes to centering our life, what really qualifies as the one thing God says should be the most important? And we just read it in this text. So let's look again at 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read through the first three verses. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance. There's our words. First importance. What I also received, what's first importance? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Paul is pointing us to the one transcendent truth that should define our lives in the midst of our various responsibilities and many possible areas of service in the kingdom of God. One overarching truth should motivate all our work and affect every part of who we are. Christ died for our sins. This, Paul says, is the main thing. Nothing else, not even things that are biblical and honorable, are of equal or greater importance than this. God sent his Son to the cross to bear his wrath for sinners like you and me. If there's anything in life we should be passionate about, it's the gospel. And I don't mean passionate only about sharing it with others. I mean passionate in thinking about the gospel, reflecting upon the gospel, rejoicing in the gospel, allowing it to color the way we look at the world and all of life. Now, before I stop here, I wanted to get into this idea of preaching the gospel to yourself. I think it's an idea we throw around and we've talked about, and a lot of people mention this, but what does it really look like to preach the gospel to yourself every day? What does it look like in practice? So I'm going to borrow this from Jerry Bridges. It was, I think, 2008, about 10 years ago. I heard him at a Q&A. He gave about a four-minute answer, and that four-minute answer has shaped me profoundly, and this is what he said. It means that you begin each day by coming to God more or less in the attitude of the tax collector in the temple who prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So I'm going to read this parable, familiar parable from Luke 18. Jesus said to this, told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. John Gerstner, who's a preacher, he once told a story about this parable. He said, imagine if this man, this tax collector, was 20 years old when this story took place, and say that he left there, and for the next 60 years, this tax collector lived an exemplary Christian life, a model of a godly man and what a godly man should be, and say he came back to the temple when he was 80 years old. Do you know what he would do? He would stand far off, and he would beat his breast, and he would say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So this is the attitude that we come to God in. This attitude, as Jerry Bridges would say, we come that we are absolutely still dependent on his mercy. So we start there with this humble attitude. And then, Jerry Bridges says, if there are issues in my life that I feel like I have not dealt with, there may be some sins, some thoughts, resentment against someone, or pride, or whatever it is, he then acknowledges that to God. He confesses that to God, and then he pleads the forgiveness of Christ. And then he goes over various passages of the gospel. He meditates on verses like Psalm 103:12 that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He really just dwells on that. John Newton has written a similar thing in line with this text. He says, all our sins are sunk in his precious blood as in a deep sea, so that even if sought for, they can no more be found. Or then he goes to Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4, or verses 3 and 4. Psalm 130, verse 3, this verse has helped me tremendously in preaching the gospel to myself. Psalm 130, verse 3 says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And then Jerry Bridges says, he takes that verse and he says, what if God did keep a record of my sins? How terrible that would be. If God would count our sins against us, none of us in this room would be able to stand. We'd be crushed under the weight of our sins. But then you bring in the gospel. 134 says, but with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. Or I often go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 after that. God has counted my sins against someone else. He's counted my sins against Christ. The sinless one became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And he says, this is not something you do just in the morning. He says, you do it throughout the day. So he said, say during the day you have some impure thoughts. He said, he'll go to Isaiah 1:18, and which says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet. Then he will say, those thoughts that I just had, those impure thoughts, they are like scarlet. He will confess that to God and plead for forgiveness for that. And then he will continue the verse, which says, though they are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And then he points out it's not just the forgiveness of sins, though that is the very basic thing that we have to go over. It is the forgiveness of sins, but it is also the imputation of Christ's righteousness. So he goes to a passage like Philippians 3:9, which says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Then he spends time thanking God that God has given him the perfect righteousness of Christ. And he quoted John Owen, who said, we take our sins to the cross and we walk away with his righteousness. So have we had a firm grasp on the gospel? Has the gospel been central to our lives this week? And have we taken time to preach the gospel to ourselves every day? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently and then I will close us in prayer. Let's go before the Lord today. in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for just for another opportunity to gather here in this room and to sing with your people, to open up your precious word and to hear it read and to hear it preached here in a moment. Thank you for your precious word. I pray that we would treasure it and delight in it more than we do. But Father, as we think about 1 Corinthians 15 and we think about how the gospel should be first important, we must confess that many times the gospel has not been first in importance for us, has not been number one in our priority list. So forgive us for elevating other things that aren't as important as the gospel. Forgive us for elevating those things to utmost importance in our own minds. Forgive us for failing to preach the gospel to ourselves, Father. Forgive us for thinking that we can live on yesterday's gospel that we've thought about. But Father, we are thankful for the good news of the gospel. We are thankful that our sins, not in part, but the whole, have been nailed to the cross and we bear them no more. We're thankful that you have cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And we are thankful for the righteousness of Christ that we are now clothed with. Father, I just pray that the gospel would bring deep and abiding joy to our lives. And I pray that the gospel truly would be central for everyone here in this room in this upcoming week, that we would take time to reflect and meditate and rejoice in the gospel. Father, I just pray for Mark as I know he's had a long week with lots of things to do, and he probably hasn't slept great the last few nights. So I pray that you'd give him extra energy as he's about to open up your word and help us, Father, come by your Holy Spirit, fill this room, help us to be attentive to the preaching of your word, help us to be able to apply your word to our lives. And Father, as we get to come to communion later, I pray that we would come broken over our sin, but we would come rejoicing over Christ and his shed blood for us. And we'd ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.